Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August the 2th, 232nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, noted CPA, Bill McCauley.
Hey, big guy. How you doing?
Singing with in the rain. I have discovered, of course, it keeps me up way too late. Dean Martin roasts and Johnny Carson shows on YouTube.
Oh, gosh.
It was Jackie Gleason. I don't know what triggered it. Somebody had somewhere. And he only appeared on The Tonight Show one time.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think he would have been on there.
They went back and forth about, well, you know, if you weren't such a snob, you would have invited me. And just had great fun back and forth. And it was so. Okay, now y'all know what I'm doing late at night.
Yeah. My grandparents, my mom's parents, loved Johnny Carson. They were night owls, and they just always, they'd tell you about what Johnny said the night before.
If one of these cable networks bought the rights, it'd probably Garrison Keillor probably would stab him through the chest. Okay, fine. I bet you if you just ran that at like 10 o'clock at night and 11 o'clock, 2 hours or two. Yeah, I guess you have to start at 9. Yeah. One from 9 to 10:30 and one from 10:30 to midnight. You'd have numbers that would rival anything on cable.
You could have the Carson Channel.
Almost. Or take, and maybe some of the other, like the Glenn Campbell and Andy Williams, and just have a full network of that. I bet you it would just kick butt. Too bad it didn't translate to radio, huh? Then we could do it.
Carson was so good. His facial expressions and,
They had Rich,
watching him react to inanity was, just always.
They had Rich Little on, and he went through. Geez. He said, there's 23 mannerisms. And he started doing them all. And they were watching Carson. He'd do something, catch himself, and then check off. And it was just fun. Oh. Our quote this morning comes from Brenda Hefty. I suppose we don't want to say Hefty Brenda, but Brenda Hefty.
She would appreciate that you not do that.
Close your hand. Do you feel absence or presence? That's kind of cool.
Winston's giving it a try.
Yeah. So I figure out, do I throw it or throw it fast? Are we still subject to fraud as taxpayers, as people? I think at one point folks saw, the internet, there's all that information there. There's no way anybody could ever slide anything past us because you get 15 different corroborating sources saying the same thing. And yet it seems like with the internet, we're more apt, more gullible. Your turn.
I think that the internet is rife with fraud. I mean, I think that the whole idea of using internet sources for verifying your ideas is dangerous, although it can be very effective if you do enough of it. So, but fraud is rampant on the internet and on connected places.
KINS News and Information Time. We'll get back to the real stuff when we come back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, the concept of fraud, I mean, I want to say that there's an overt and there's a covert. There's the accidental, whoops. and something goofy happens and it triggers a series, you know, Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I don't think that's what most of us are really concerned with when we're talking about either information being exposed or paying things or doing that kind of stuff. What is a normal, we kind of started down this path last time. What is a normal way, if there's an issue, that somebody should expect to be contacted or informed that something's going on?
You mean from the taxing authority or from whoever?
From taxing would be one. From government would be one. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different potential sources.
There are. I mean, you know, first of all, let's knock the IRS. Let's deal with that first, because that is obviously an area of primary concern from my perspective, and because of what I do, and because of the level of fraud that's out there. First of all, if you get an email from the IRS, it's not from the IRS. Delete it and ignore it.
Yeah, how would they get your email?
Yeah. And the IRS does not initiate, first of all, the IRS does not initiate contact with taxpayers by the phone or by email. They do it by mail, by paper in the mail. And so if you have not received some form of paper correspondence, then any contact you're receiving should be viewed as there's a 99.9% chance it is fraudulent and something you should just completely avoid. And in the extremely rare circumstance that it might actually be the taxing authority, I think you have every right just to ignore it on that basis, just because of the level of fraud associated with this type of a contact. So if you receive an email from the IRS or somebody like that, it's fraud. If you receive, you know, if you're not in the middle of some, you know, there occasionally are times where there will be some email that goes as an example, if I'm representing a client, there's occasionally been little things we've exchanged on email with IRS representatives, but that's rare. They don't even want to do that. They'd rather deal with you by fax. But that being
really?
Said, well, yeah, and I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but they really don't use email very much. And that may be changing, but that's been.
Even if you're involved in a situation,
yeah.
You won't be getting emails.
And phone calls are very rare, and it would only be in a situation where there would already been some level of contact. So when you get a phone call from somebody, and you know, I get them, I've actually kept a couple of them on my cell phone that I've received from the IRS telling me they're going to take me to court. That I need to act now to avoid some serious problem. And typically the first call is a recorded call. So you get this and they recorded call and there's an invitation for you to call another number, to get back to them, to avoid this. But, and then they've got people who are able to reel in the fish when you make that phone call. When you stop and think about it, when you get down to it, if you follow through far enough with these kinds of phone calls, they will ask to be paid with Western Union, MoneyGram. They'll be asked to be paid with iTunes cards. They'll be asked to be paid with prepaid debit cards. Think about that. When was the last time you paid your tax liability with any of those things? You know, we just don't do that. We pay. You know, we either do that with an electronic transfer, or a good old check, which is still kind of my favorite, for various and sundry reasons. The point being, the smell test should ultimately tell you. But the problem is, they draw you in to this emotional. This natural fear we have, we get a letter from the IRS, we're a little, and we just don't, we stop thinking clearly. So the point being, if you get a phone call from the IRS, ignore it. If you get an email from the IRS, ignore it. Your life will be a lot easier. We get calls, you know, several calls a month from clients going, I got a call from the IRS, I don't know what to do with it.
So it is prevalent.
It's prevalent, and it's insidious. It's one of many frauds that are out there that are going on. But it is absolutely you should ignore it. Franchise Tax Board, if you got some kind of communication from them electronically, you should ignore it. I don't know that there's much of that out there, but they would not do that. The one that's starting to concern me a little bit, because I think it is spoofed emails from credit card companies. I had a credit card, and I went on to create an online account so I could make an online payment to on my credit card balance, you know, to pay off my credit card balance, and which I pay every month, as optimally we all should do. And in doing so, I created this account. I got an email back saying, okay, your account's been created, and now periodically I get an email from that company saying, with regard to this account. The problem is, it's very easy to spoof a Bank of America looking email message that can send you. There's some tricks you can use. It is a problem.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Oh, oops. Too much information.
Yeah. 8:35 and 42 seconds?
Yeah. Hey, we got a new format. They used to call it popcorn. Remember, we used to dial that in? Yeah, okay. It's 8:35 for real. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley.
Now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Can you tell we're locals? Yeah. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Bill, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the credit card would-be scammers. And I suppose it's always interesting to see how creative the segment of society that's trying to separate us from our money can become.
Yeah.
In various ways. Do you sense that there's more occurring now? Are people trying it? Are we more susceptible to it?
Yeah, I think we are, and I think it's just because of the evolution of our society and how we interact. You know, we've become so much more electronic. I mean, I've gone to birthday parties for family members, and I'll come into the room and I'll look at how many people are looking at their electronic device. You know, some of them I think are texting back and forth, probably making fun of me, but that's another matter. But I mean, the point is
it hecks me off. Yeah. I mean, to see that.
Well, you're getting old, Brian. You got to get with the program, get your phone out, and start texting them.
Things change.
Things are obviously different. And, you know, we can sit and complain about it all we want, but the reality is things are different and things are changing. And, you know, with all change, there's pros and cons. One of the cons is, you know, we're less socialized in a way. We don't have those common experiences that we were talking about off air, you know, in terms of, you know, the things that we all saw together, because there's so many choices in media out there. And so we are more susceptible to different approaches. There's a bunch of terminology for all these different means. As an example, I was the intended target of what they call spear phishing. I got an email that came from what appeared to be the IRS indicating I needed to renew my PTIN. Tax preparers get what's called a preparer tax identification number, a PTIN, and we renew it once each year, and we pay a $65 fee each year to the IRS. So the IRS has a website set up to collect that. Well, anybody who knows much about our profession and this business knows that we do that. And so they were targeting emails to people who were perceived to be in the tax preparation business, saying, "Hey, you need to renew your PTIN." And they sent those early ahead of the IRS, who sends a reminder to do that. Now, the interesting thing is that there are some things you can do to kind of see if it's really a legitimate email. One of them is look at the address it came from. Okay, the address might look legitimate, but if you hover your mouse over the address, you might actually see that the address isn't what's showing there. It might be something else. In addition, those emails will typically have what's called a dynamic link, and so that there'll be a link you can click on. It said, "Click here to go and update your PTIN record," and if you hover over that, it'll tell you where you're going to go, where that link's going to take you. And it won't necessarily be, it might be to some address with a Russian internet extension or something Estan.
.uk.
Or .. you know, and anyway, so you, there could be China, it could be, anyway, so you need to look at those extensions because, now, those things can also be spoofed on a particularly sophisticated attack. So the idea really is avoid clicking on links in emails,
because you don't know.
So if I get something from my credit card company saying, "Okay, you know, you can come online to make your payment now," my idea is I go back. I won't click on the link in the email. I'll just navigate to it and type the address where I know where I need to go and do it to go make that payment, as an example. And so that avoids the possibility that somebody's spoofing me.
Or at least gives you an idea to see what's cooking.
Yeah. And, really this all comes down to the mentality of the fraudster. And, people who commit fraud have the idea that if you're dumb enough to be susceptible to the fraud, you deserve it. You deserve to be punished. And the way they would like to extract that punishment is to enrich themselves. And so that's the mindset of a typical fraudster. So there's things we can do. You need to be paying attention and avoid clicking on links and emails and be smart about things and be skeptical. If you get an email from somebody you weren't expecting to get the email, call them. We'll do that sometimes. We'll get something sent to us from somebody and we'll think, "I don't think they were going to send us anything." So we'll call them and go, "Did you just send us an email with a file attached?" "Yeah." "Okay. Well, then we've got antivirus and other things that we're checking those things, and we should be okay." But when in doubt, we double check because it's
don't get caught in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, the risks are too great for our businesses. Our businesses are full of records that somebody from the outside might want to have. I mean, if your business takes credit cards, well, you need to be very careful with how you store that data. In our office, if somebody calls and wants to make a payment with a credit card, we don't write down the number. We tell them, "Wait a moment." We have somebody log into the site, and they type the number in. So it's never written down in our office. We don't have a record of it in our office. And so that's one way to avoid that information ever being compromised. And everybody has to make their own choices. And some retailers and other businesses, that's not really a feasible way of doing things. But for us, it works. So the point being, we all need to be really careful, and we need to understand that it's our responsibility as citizens to try to avoid getting ripped off. And, you know, if you make it easy for somebody to rip you off, you're making it easy for them to commit a crime. We don't want to do that either as good citizens.
I thought it was intriguing. You said a $65. Most folks was, "Hey, they're just going to screw around for $65 multiplied by..." And all of a sudden it pencils in, and maybe you fly in under the radar screen, or that's an access to additional down the road.
See, and that's where I think that spear phishing effort was focused. I think it was focused on gathering personal data from me. So what they really weren't after was $65. They were after my name, address, social security number, date of birth, and credit card number. Because that's pretty much the keys to the kingdom.
Just choose wisely whose credit card you get.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the challenge that we face in our business, is that we accumulate that kind of information, not necessarily credit card numbers, but we accumulate a lot of information in our tax files. If you think about what is in an electronic file that we accumulate to file a tax return, That's pretty much the keys to the kingdom. The direct deposit number for the bank account, the name, the address, the social security number, and the date of birth. So that puts a heightened responsibility on us to have firewalls and to secure that data to avoid it being made available to other people. And so
that's a challenge. News and information time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, if folks are concerned about some of the different, they get the goofy email. Okay, you click on it, delete it. Okay, but is there a clearinghouse for some of the do's and don'ts? Just simple, easy, even Papstein can follow it, lists of stuff to avoid?
I think yes, I'm sure there are. I don't have one to say to directly send. You can also report. There's a mechanism with the IRS to report phishing attempts and things like that. So you can say, okay, somebody has tried to, contact me, pretending to be the IRS. I don't know exactly what they do with all that data. I think that the problem, there's so much fraud out there, and I think the cost to try to enforce some laws, I just think, it's overwhelming. So I really don't know, where the threshold is for where somebody's really going to take something more seriously.
Yeah, does it need a lot of zeros, or is it a lot of people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a question, and those are the things that as, as we try to allocate resources within our society, that's the challenge. How do we do this in the best possible way to be as effective as possible?
It's a frightening thing. If there was a flat tax, there'd still be people trying to figure out ways to work around it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Bill McCauley. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.